devoured and took out the men that threw them in because it was so hot. And you know, we can't even stand over a barbecue pit. Imagine these men. Come on now. You stand over the pit too long, you through. Send your little hair on your arm, you mad. The messed up your little baby hair on your arm. Just seeing if y'all with me. So 24 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast in three men unto the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, yeah, king, you're right, we did. And you know, that was his yes men. They said, yeah, we threw in three. Nebuchadnezzar, now look at this. I want you to notice something. In verse 25, let's read that and then I'll get to it. And he answered and said, lo, after I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and no, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, we'll stop right there. See, we got to understand something. And I know you've been crying because of your bondage. You've been upset because of seem like you can't do anything, because it seemed like you're bound and you need deliverance from something. But notice something here. God allowed them to be bound. Right? Not only did he allow them to be bound, but he allowed the ones who bound them to see them bound. Not only did he allow them to be bound and them to see them bound, but he allowed them to see them thrown in the fire. Lord, have mercy here. I'm going somewhere. I want y'all to stay with me. See, it's okay. You need to tell your situation, tell yourself, it's okay if I'm bound. It's okay if I'm going through. It's okay if everybody see the look on my face. It's okay if they see me struggling. It's okay if they see me in my trial. I wish I had somebody. We've been trying to hide the fact that we're going through. It's okay that you're going through. God let them see you go through because he wants to see, let them see you come out. Lord have mercy. Quit trying to hide. I don't want them to see. I'm in Walmart trying to hide. I'm going 2 o'clock in the morning, tipping in there, trying to get and trying to hide because people, I know they've been talking about me. I know my business out there and they saying this and they saying that. So what? Let them say it. Let them see it. But what are they going to say when God snatches you out of the... Lord have mercy. I wish I had somebody in here. Let them see. Let them see that you're bound. But they'll also see the fact that God is going to loose you from where you are. And so it's okay with me if they see me going through my trial. It's okay with me if they see me thrown in the fiery furnace. It's okay if they bind me up and make me feel like I can't move. But I know one thing, that God will deliver. Yes, he will. God will deliver. Oh, my God. The word deliver there means to snatch out. Let them see me going through. Before you know it, God will snatch me out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God will snatch me out of that thing so quick. They saw me one moment I was in it. The next moment, God had snatched me out, shook the dust off me, and put me back on display to show them my testimony. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of your trial, because your trial will be your testimony later on. Oh, hallelujah. I got to get through preaching this. Amen. I wanted to shout right there. I wanted to run. I wanted to go ahead and quit. But thank God, amen, for the rest of this word. And so he said, I see four men in there. But see, when he threw you were in one condition. But as he watched you, because he wanted to see you fail, they want to see you fall. They don't want to see you have nothing. They don't want you to get what God has for you. And as they're watching your life, trying to see, you wonder how in the world they know everything about your life. They're watching you. God has put you on display. You wonder why they're looking at what kind of car you drive, where you live. They know exactly where you live. You don't even know where they live, but they know where you live. You know how it goes. And they watch what you're wearing. How in the world they wearing that? I wonder where you get that from. I like that, but I don't like them. Come on and say, man, they like what you got on, but they don't like the person you are. I wish I had somebody. And they put you in there, but then they realize why you're in the furnace, why you're in the place that they thought you ought to die, why you're in the place that they thought you were going to fall to your demise. They see a condition that you were in, and now it's changed. Your condition changes while you're in the furnace. Your condition changes while you're, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. We got to know that tribulation work patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. In other words, God won't disappoint us. Tell somebody, God won't disappoint me. Tell your other neighbor, God won't disappoint me. He loves me too much to disappoint me. Oh, come on and say amen. He loves me too much to let me go down like this. He loves me too much to let me stay right where I'm at. He loves me too much that he won't lift me up when I'm falling down. Oh, glory. Yeah. There is a word from the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible said they were thrown in the fire. And they fell down in the fire. You might fall sometime. Oh, hallelujah. I preach the organ. Eh? You might fall sometime. But that's all right, because when you fall, he'll be right there with you to pick you up. He's the lifter of your head. Do I have anybody? Oh, yeah. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because thou art with me. And he was with David in the valley, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. It ain't nowhere you can go that God won't be there to help you out, to lift you up, to bring. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the one thing I love about this text is that they didn't have to come out to get loosed. Look at the text. Nebuchadnezzar said it. He said that we threw in. He said, didn't we throw three in? He said, but he answered, I see four men loose. They didn't have to come out to be. When you're a child of God, I can still be in my trial, but I'm still free. I can still be going through trouble, but I'm still free. I can still have things going on in my life, but I'm free to lift my hands. I'm free to praise the Lord. I'm free. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I may still be in my trouble, but you'll never know it because I'm free. Glory be to God. Oh, I wanted to go right there too, but I can't yet. Oh, I'm free. See, you don't have to come out of this. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't have to come out to be free. You don't have to come out to be loose. Oh, hallelujah. So you've been waiting on God. God, bring me out of this. God, bring me through this. God say, I'm in it with you, and you're free. He that the Son set free is free indeed. I'm free when I'm in trials. I'm free when I'm in trouble. I'm free when I'm in the, oh, come on and say amen, in the fiery furnace. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, when I got these sticky notes, the message is dangerous. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. But notice what he said. He said, not only are they loosed, he said, but they have no hurt. Oh, my God. Even though the fire is designed to change everything it touches, the fire couldn't do anything to the ones that God was with. I wish I had somebody. Even though what I'm going through, look, what was the message title? I might go through it, but it won't go through me. This trouble that I got ain't getting in my heart. The stuff that you did me, I ain't holding it in my heart. I'm not going to be bitter, but I'm getting better as I go through. I wish I had somebody. Ain't nobody happy but me. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he said, I threw three in. He said, but I see four. I see four, and they loose. See, you can't come in God's presence and not get free. That's why it's important for us to praise him, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He will not allow you to stay bound in his presence. Oh, they don't believe me, Holy Ghost. Well, come here, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas was bound in a Philippian jail in lockdown with chains on their feet, chains on their hand. And at midnight, they sang praises to God and they prayed. And the Bible said their chains fell off and the doors opened, not just to their jail cell, but to everybody's jail cell. I wish I had somebody in here. You can't praise God and stay bound. You can't praise God and stay locked up. You can't praise God and God will make you free anytime you lift him up, anytime you praise him. He will make you free. Yeah. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He said the form of the fourth one looks like the Son of God. How does a heathen know what the Son of God looked like? It must have been something different about him. It must have been something that he could identify that looked so much different about the fourth man that it made him.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Book of Romans chapter 4, and I want to start at verse 17. I may try and get to verse 22, but I want to just start at verse 17. Romans 4 verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. As we walk through this text today, it is interesting. It is the tale of the story of Abram, who became Abraham as he walked in obedience to God and walked in the ways of God as he pleased God. God showed him his power. God made to him his promise. But God also demonstrated his principles to him. And Abram became Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis when God changed his name and made it clear that he was about to fulfill the promise in the giving of his son Isaac to he and Sarah. That his honoring of God by way of his faith is what moved God to give him such a magnanimous promise. One of the things that just intrigues me about God is that God is such a big God that when he gives us great revelations and promises and insight into what the future for us will be, it's sometimes mind-blowing, especially when you consider where you are and what you have and perhaps what you're presently doing. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. God created us for his glory. God purposed us for his pleasure. And God, who has made us promises, will bring those things to pass. And so one of the things that I want us to look at in the text is how God worked with Abraham's faith. And God wants to work with your faith today. There's a whole lot that's working with your doubt. So I want to focus on your faith. I don't need to tell you about all the things that cause you to be doubtful. You've got a list of them yourselves. But I want you to focus in on a man that is known as the father of the faithful because of his faith being so strong that it moved God to make him, who was an unrighteous man at the time God spoke to him. But in the end of the lesson, the Bible says that it was imputed. It was comes out of an accounting term. It means it was reckoned or credited or counted as righteousness. His faith was so powerful that God counted it as righteousness. And so, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I think is helpful for us to see in these few verses, without going all the way through the whole journey, just give you some snapshots so that you can take those and utilize them in your own life, in your own walk, in your own talk, in your own experience with God to help you. There are some things about his faith that we can pick out of these verses. I'll just give you a few of them to name. His faith was sure. Sure. If you're writing notes, write it down. You'll find that in the text. His faith was secure. Secure. His faith was strong. Strong. And his faith was steadfast. Steadfast. Now, why is all of this important? Because Abraham's faith is an example to those of us who have entered into the family of God through faith. If you were not born a Jew, a Hebrew, by natural cause, and you are part of God's chosen children by way of blood, then the truth of the matter, even now, all of them must enter into his holy family through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So that puts us all on equal footing because we now must come by faith into the family of God. So it takes faith for us to hear, faith for us to receive, faith for us to respond, and faith for us to receive the rewards of the things of God. So faith is a necessary component to our Christian experience. And anybody trying to get into heaven without faith, I've got sad news for you. It won't happen. 11:6 of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's go back to the text because it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, again, you go back, you see in the 15th number of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. You see in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, and other places where God makes this promise to Abraham. Now, what is interesting about this is when God tells him this, he is at the age of 75. He's in a heathen land with heathen family, friends, and folk around him. He has a heathen atmosphere out of which God calls him out so that God can truly nourish him in the things of faith. And sometime, my brothers and sisters, God's got to bring you out before he brings you in. So sometime there are some relationships and situations and circumstances that God's got to bring you out before he begins to bring you in to the deeper things of God, to the better things of God, to the things that God himself will bring to reality in the people of faith. God has to know that you are focusing on him and not them. So you got to understand, at 75 years old, he is called to leave his country. Now, here's the interesting thing. God tells him to go, but he doesn't tell him where. Now, a lot of things you're going to understand that does not make sense by logic, but makes sense by faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So you can't utilize your natural sight to think that you can navigate the things of faith. You need spiritual sight in order to see spiritual things. And people without spiritual sight can't begin logically to deduce from cause to effect how God works and does certain things, because it's a faith matter that only comes through faith. And so we miss God because we're trying to get God to work on our terms with our finite minds and our thought processes, and God doesn't work that way. Listen to what he says. He made this promise before him, the word says, whom he believed, even God. God makes this promise before Abraham. He brings him into the revelation of who he really is. He does this because he wants him to know. Abraham has experienced this. He knows this, that this God that he serves quickeneth the dead. That means he has the ability to raise up anything that's dead, anything that's gone, anything that has left the living experience, and bring it back to life. So that's why dead stuff don't move God. Because, listen, whenever God gets ready to change the situation, he can. And listen, you know, when God asked Ezekiel in the valley, can these bones live? Ezekiel was like, really? Do you see these bones are so dead, they're dry, they're bleached white. They didn't just die. They've been dead so long that they have become brittle and scattered all over the valley. And you ask me, can these bones live? Well, listen at this. When God continued to query him, he had to throw his hands up and say, Lord, you know. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are a whole lot of things we don't know, but how many of you know he knows? And you ought to at least sense, if you don't have sense enough to know it yourself, know at least that he knows it. Look at Jesus. Let me just take you there for just a quick moment. There were three deaths that occurred in Jesus' ministry. The death of Jairus' daughter, the death of the widow of Nain's son, and the death of Lazarus, his friend. Now, I want you to see that death is death. But Jesus, just in case those who were there had any other thought concerning it, Jesus wanted to show him his power. First of all, the Jews and those of that day believed that many times that the spirit, once a person died, hovered over the body for at least 3 days. But on the fourth day, whatever hope or possibility of that person rising again was gone, because decomposition had set into the body and there was no longer a chance for that body to come alive again. So when he went to Jairus's daughter, he told them she was just sleeping. And the naysayers around him said somebody didn't give Jesus the memo. She's dead. Jesus had to deal first with the naysayers, and he put them all out. Because sometimes the person that's blocking your blessing is in your presence. So he started with the damsel who was just sleeping, he said. He said, yeah, I know she's dead according to you, but to me, she's just sleeping. And so when he called her, he caused her to rise from the dead who had just moments earlier expired. But let's look at the widow of Nain's son. Her son had died. It was the same day, because in that culture, when a person died, depending on the time of day, they would bury them the same day. And if they died that evening, they would bury them the next morning. But this boy obviously died earlier in the day, because he was in the coffin, and the coffin was on the way out of town to the grave site. Jesus was coming in town. So now this boy was dead a little longer than Jairus' daughter was dead, because they had time to put him in a coffin. Are you listening to me? They had time to orchestrate a funeral service. And obviously they had already had the ceremony. They were just on their way to the grave site. And so when Jesus saw him, he touched the end of the casket, the side of the casket, and caused the boy to sit up and returned him back to life to his mama. But when he got to Lazarus, he heard that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus said, all sickness is not unto death. So he stayed where he was 2 days later. But it took him 2 days more to get back to Lazarus. So by the time you add two and two together, it was 4 days. Martha said, if you would have come when we called, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, I don't know what you're talking about. Matter of fact, do you know who I am? You Jesus. No, I'm not talking about Jesus whom you know. Do you know who I am? I am the resurrection and the life. I know, she says, I'm going to see my brother again in the resurrection. He said, baby, you got it twisted. You are looking at the resurrection. And listen, He said, where have you laid him? She said, listen, let me help you out, Jesus. I know you have raised two others, and I was there around some of them, but they were just freshly dead. Lazarus been dead. His body is stinking now. What can you do with him? I didn't ask you that. I asked you, where did you lay him? And when he got to where Lazarus was, all he said was, Lazarus, come forth. And the record is, Lazarus came forth bound in grave clothes. Jesus saw him, they said, he can't live like that. Take the grave clothes off him.
You see, my brothers and sisters, not only sometime when God gives you a new life, you got to change your attire, but you've got to change your attitude as well. So he was.